"Is there a problem?" he said, looking between Harry and Snape. "Professor!" Harry said, sidestepping Snape before Snape could speak. "Mr. Crouch is here. He's down in the forest. He wants to speak to you." Harry expected Dumbledore to ask questions, but, to his relief, Dumbledore did nothing of the sort. "Lead the way," he said promptly, and he swept off along the corridor behind Harry, leaving Snape standing next to the gargoyle and looking twice as ugly. "What did Mr. Crouch say, Harry?" said Dumbledore, as they walked swiftly down the marble staircase. "Said he wants to warn you. Said he's done something terrible. He mentioned his son, and Bertha Jorkins, and Voldemort, something about Voldemort getting stronger. Indeed!" said Dumbledore, and he quickened his pace as they hurried out into the pitch darkness. "He's not acting normally," Harry said, hurrying along beside Dumbledore. "He doesn't seem to know where he is. He keeps talking like he thinks Percy Weasley's there, and then he changes and says he needs to see you. I left him with Victor Crumb." "You did?" said Dumbledore sharply, and he began to take longer strides still, so that Harry was running to keep up. "Do you know if anybody else saw Mr. Crouch?" "No," said Harry. "Crumb and I were talking. Mr. Bagman had just finished telling us about the third task. We stayed behind, and then we saw Mr. Crouch coming out of the forest." "Where are they?" said Dumbledore, as the Beauxbatons carriage emerged from the darkness. "Over here," said Harry, moving in front of Dumbledore, leading the way through the trees. He couldn't hear Crouch's voice any more, but he knew where he was going. It hadn't been much past the Beauxbatons carriage. Somewhere around here. "Victor!" Harry shouted. No one answered. "They were here," Harry said to Dumbledore. "They were definitely somewhere around here." "Lumos!" Dumbledore said, lighting his wand and holding it up. Its narrow beam travelled from black trunk to black trunk, illuminating the ground. And then it fell upon a pair of feet. Harry and Dumbledore hurried forwards. Crumb was sprawled on the forest floor. He seemed to be unconscious. There was no sign at all of Mr. Crouch. Dumbledore bent over Crumb and gently lifted one of his eyelids. "Stunned," he said softly. His half-moon glasses glittered in the wand-light as he peered around at the surrounding trees. "Should I go and get someone?" said Harry. "Madam Pomfrey?" "No," said Dumbledore swiftly. "Stay here." He raised his wand into the air and pointed it in the direction of Hagrid's cabin. Harry saw something silvery dart out of it and streak away through the trees like a ghostly bird. Then Dumbledore bent over Crumb again, pointed his wand at him, and muttered, "Enervate." Crumb opened his eyes. He looked dazed. When he saw Dumbledore, he tried to sit up, but Dumbledore put a hand on his shoulder and made him lie still. "He attacked me," Crumb muttered, putting a hand up to his head. "The old madman attacked me. I was looking around to see where Potter had gone, and he attacked me from behind." "Lie still for a moment," Dumbledore said. The sound of thunderous footfalls reached them, and Hagrid came panting into sight with Fang at his heels. He was carrying his crossbow. "Professor Dumbledore," he said, his eyes widening. "Harry! What the—" "Hagrid, I need you to fetch Professor Karkaroff," said Dumbledore. "His student has been attacked. When you've done that, kindly alert Professor Moody."
"No need, Dumbledore," said a wheezy growl. "I'm here."
Moody was limping towards them, leaning on his staff, his wand lit.
"Damn leg," he said furiously. "Would have been here quicker. What's happened? Snape said something about Crouch."
"Crouch?" said Hagrid, blankly.
"Karkaroff, please, Hagrid," said Dumbledore sharply. "Oh, yeah, right you are, Professor,"
said Hagrid, and he turned and disappeared into the dark trees, Fang trotting after him.
"I don't know where Barty Crouch is," Dumbledore told Moody, "but it is essential that we find him."
"I'm on to it,"
growled Moody, and he pulled out his wand and limped off into the forest. Neither Dumbledore nor Harry spoke again until they heard the unmistakable sounds of Hagrid and Fang returning. Karkaroff was hurrying along behind them. He was wearing his sleek silver furs, and he looked pale and agitated.
"What is this?"
he cried, when he saw Crumb on the ground and Dumbledore and Harry beside him. "What's going on?"
"I was attacked," said Crumb, sitting up now and rubbing his head. "Mr. Crouch, or whatever his name." "Crouch attacked you? Crouch attacked you? The Tri-Wizard Judge?"
"I go," Dumbledore began, but Karkaroff had drawn himself up, clutching his furs around him, looking livid.
"Treachery!" he bellowed, pointing at Dumbledore. "It is a plot! You and your Ministry of Magic have lured me here under false pretences, Dumbledore! This is not an equal competition! First, you sneak Potter into the tournament, though he is under age. Now one of your Ministry friends attempts to put my champion out of action! I smell double-dealing and corruption in this whole affair, and you, Dumbledore, you, with your talk of closer international wizarding links, of rebuilding old ties, of forgetting old differences, here's what I think of you!"
Karkaroff spat onto the ground at Dumbledore's feet. In one swift movement, Hagrid seized the front of Karkaroff's furs, lifted him into the air, and slammed him against a nearby tree.
"Apologize!" Hagrid snarled, as Karkaroff gasped for breath, Hagrid's massive fist at his throat, his feet dangling in mid-air. "Hagrid, no!" Dumbledore shouted, his eyes flashing.
Hagrid removed the hand pinning Karkaroff to the tree, and Karkaroff slid all the way down the trunk and slumped in a huddle at its roots. A few twigs and leaves showered down upon his head.
"Kindly escort Harry back up to the castle, Hagrid," said Dumbledore sharply.
Breathing heavily, Hagrid gave Karkaroff a glowering look.
"Maybe I'd better stay here, Headmaster."
"You will take Harry back to school, Hagrid," Dumbledore repeated firmly. "Take him right up to Gryffindor Tower. And, Harry, I want you to stay there. Anything you might want to do, any owls you might want to send, they can wait until morning. Do you understand me?"
"Yes," said Harry, staring at him. How had Dumbledore known that at that very moment he had been thinking about sending Pigwidgeon straight to Sirius to tell him what had happened?
"I'll leave Fang with you, Headmaster," Hagrid said, still staring menacingly at Karkaroff, who was still sprawled at the foot of the tree, tangled in furs and tree roots. "Stay, Fang! Come on, Harry."
They marched in silence past the Beaubaton carriage and up towards the castle.
"How dare he!" Hagrid growled as they strode past the lake. "How dare he accuse Dumbledore? Like Dumbledore do anything like that? Like Dumbledore wanted you in the tournament in the first place? Worried? I don't know when I've seen Dumbledore more worried than he's been lately. And you," Hagrid suddenly said angrily to Harry, who looked up at him, taken aback. "What were you doing, wandering off with Ruddy Crumb? He's from Durmstrang, Harry. Could have jinxed you right there, couldn't he? Hasn't Moody taught you nothing? Imagine letting him lure you off on your own."
"Crumb's all right," said Harry, as they climbed the steps into the entrance hall. "He wasn't trying to jinx me. He just wanted to talk to me about Hermione."
"I'll be having a few words with her and all," said Hagrid grimly, stomping up the stairs. "The less you lot have to do with these foreigners, the happier you'll be. You can't trust any of them."
"You were getting on all right with Madame Maxime," Harry said, annoyed.
"Don't you talk to me about her," said Hagrid, and he looked quite frightening for a moment. "I've got her number now. Trying to get back in me good books, trying to get me to tell her what's coming in the third task. Ha! You can't trust any of them."
Hagrid was in such a bad mood, Harry was quite glad to say good-bye to him in front of the fat lady. He clambered through the portrait hole into the common room, and hurried straight for the corner where Ron and Hermione were sitting, to tell them what had happened.